You're listening to The People's Pitch, the official podcast of Minneapolis City Soccer Club, brought to you by footballstadiumprince.com. Let's start the show.
And as I talked about just a couple minutes ago, as Joe Watt stands over this one, he appears to be the one taking the penalty here. This is a huge confidence booster if you're a Duluth.
Worst case
Elder
scenario for
here
City
for
right
more.
Here.
And it stopped!
Yes!
And it stopped!
Totally
Matt
redeems
Elder.
Himself.
Matt Elder redeeming himself! Oliver with the right foot. The shot is
goal! Oliver!
And Justin Oliver will break the scoreless tie. Then it is 1-0 Minneapolis City. It's Hutton now on the offense with the left foot.
And Oliver, goal!
And it is now 2-0 Minneapolis
oh, yes!
City.
Good finish.
Nick Hutton taking his quick victory lap.
Welcome to the home of soccer across the physical and virtual worlds. This is the People's Pitch Podcast, the official podcast of your Minneapolis City SC. I am your host, Nate, and with me as always is John Bizworm, the John Bizworm. Yes, the John Bizworm. It's that time of year again, John. The prep for the season is underway. You got the E-Cup about to fire off. The futures season has begun. It's kind of hard to remember, like hard to adjust again when all of a sudden your life is busy with soccer.
Yeah, for sure. And I do want to do a proper shout out to the Riverside / East Bank Rovers in the Futures League for beating Marcy Holmes 6-1 last week.
Nice.
My team was firing on all cylinders. Super big shout out to my assistant coach or my co-head coach, Max Loom of the Futures staff. And all of the players, including the player of the week, defender Christian Prince from the Rovers. So many, many shout outs and claps to those fellows. But yes, Nate, you're right. Soccer, like all of a sudden, it was like the busy button got pushed.
Yeah. Like we were sitting around on our hands for like 2 months, basically. Like, man, I really wish there was some news to cover besides the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or lack of news coming from our cousins across the river.
Yep.
But anyways, let's get into it, man.
Yeah. Two big topics on the schedule today. First of all, we want to talk a little bit about the Carl Craig Q&A event that happened last week at Utapils. And then City FIFA contender Israel Carrillo is in the house, and we've got a lower league E-Cup preview for you all today. So let's get rolling. John, I do want to ask that 6-1 scorecard or 6-1 score in the Futures League, not the player you'd expect to get a player of the game when you've got six goals on the scoreboard, but the defender got player of the game, huh?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You probably could have given player of the week to half of our team. But what we looked at was the guy who, like, as a center back, a defender – organize our shape and our team into preventing goals, but also being able to move out of that and distribute out of the back to start goals. So like he did it all. And yeah, not the person you would think in a 6-1 scoreline. To be completely fair, the goalkeeper from RC Holmes had probably 15 saves. So it might have been worse.
Wow.
Then we would have moved into potentially being an offensive player. But I will say, let's not get our expectations too high because every team makes the playoffs and anything can happen in the playoffs. So anyways, but yeah, it was a good first start for the old Rovers. So
fun.
That was great. All right. So as far as news, it's been City officially unveiled their shiny new Ferrari that is new head coach. The fourth head coach of Minneapolis City in history, Mr. Carl Craig, got it right this time, and his staff joined Nate and I and the fans for a little Q&A at Utapils last week, and I thought it went great. I thought it was a really good event outside of me calling him Craig Carl, which I will never live down, which is also pretty funny. But we're definitely going to try to get Carl on hopefully next week, fingers crossed, with schedules that they align, but good to hear things from him at the event, but also we'll have him on and the folks that weren't there can have a chance to listen in on his thoughts and philosophies, which we're going to go into. But Nate, you and I were joined by Carl, like you mentioned. And his staff of assistants, which is mainly new outside of goalkeeper coach John Pucci, who's the only remaining member of the staff that was retained. But his assistant coaching staff is filled out by his number two, Mr. Peter Rivard, who is the leader over at Salvo, and Tom Kloszewski, who used to be a longtime assistant coach for John Lowry at the University of St. Thomas, but then moved over to leading the charge at Edina Soccer Club. But as well, we also had kind of a little bit of a half send-off, half introduction to his new role. That would be new city manager or new city general manager and former head coach, Matt Van Benschoten, mm-hmm. who was there as well. So, you know, we introduced the coaching staff roster, we talked about some questions, some went their way. And of course some came the way from the fans. So overall it was a really good night.
Yeah. I thought it was awesome. And I think John, plenty has been said about the hiring of Carl Craig, and I'm sure we're going to get into it a little bit more next week when we talk to him. But two key themes at this Q&A stood out to me. First, I think it was great to hear and interesting to hear. He's really pushing the club to raise the bar and make sure that things are going to be a lot more professional when it comes to training and player commitments. Like, you know, we always like to joke that we are, you know, professionally amateur, and I don't know if that's going to cut it anymore under Coach Craig. He's not a fan of these like late night trainings that start at 9 p.m. He's definitely looking for players who are treating this team like their job, not something they can show up to after work. So that's definitely a shift, and interesting when you consider that this is an amateur club and some of these guys do have jobs. But now that we are in the USL2 and the mission of the club is to continue to develop younger talent, this might be a date, you know, a year that you look back and like see how things change from here on out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if you listened to Carl on the Crafty Rogues podcast this week. Did you have a chance to check that out?
No, not yet.
Well, definitely check it out, because I think a lot of what he talked about was reiterated in that he went into the long courting process and how he was, you know, kind of talked to us a few years ago, didn't work out. Now he's here because it's working out right now. But the one thing he said was regardless of the amateur status or the emphasis on even on local players, like, he's a professional football coach is what his words were. And he's going to bring the professional football coach expectations and style and system to what he's going to be doing here. So it reiterated what you said. But it's just funny because it makes it sound like we weren't professional when everyone looks at us and they're like, man, those guys are the most professional club level. And you're like, I thought we were, but you know, he's going to bring his own spin. And I mean, no disrespect to the crew that built the club underneath him for the last few years, but yeah, that is what he is, and that's what a lot of people are excited for. And he has the background and the reputation that things are done a certain way at that level. And why would he ever change that if he's even going down into a lower level? So
yeah, which is great for the players, considering, you know, a lot of them are harboring dreams of you know, elevating their game and making it to the next level. So why not? Hopefully they're going to welcome that kind of an environment, right? Like, this is this is the tried and true methods of a coach who has coached at a high level.
Well, and I think there's going to be a lot of guys who need to really look at their priorities. And like Carl said during the Q&A, like, just because it doesn't work out for you within what he's trying to bring does not mean that that you are not good enough or you're not on your pathway. He has a style and a system, and you may not fit that. And that's okay. The expectations are, this is what we're doing. And if you fit into it, you're along for the ride. And if you don't, you know, good luck, and we'll move on to the next man up.
Yeah. Yeah. The second thing I thought that was interesting was, well, I mean, he's got such a great appreciation, it sounded like, for the fan contribution. I think he recognized a number of our supporters, even from his National Sports Center days, right? They might they were involved in the Dark Clouds, and that relationship was probably a lot closer than it is at the MNUFC level. I mean, definitely a lot closer than it is at the MNUFC level. So he's thinking back to his old days at the NSC, and he's challenging our supporters to really set the tone for the games to help the boys come out of the gate strong. I think he told this story about drumming, right? Where he was like, when, you know, when they're coming out and the game starts, you hear this beat and it's, you know, real slow. And he's like, that's great. I'm glad you're in. I'm glad that's something you're doing, but like, start faster. Let's go. Like start at 10. If the supporters can start at 10, then the players are going to start at 10. And that's kind of the environment that he's hoping to see at the Nelly. And that's really good to see. Like, I think, especially probably for a few of our oldest supporters who have overlap from those Blaine days, like it was good to see that they were on hand and hopefully, you know, to hopefully to get the message and to see that, like, hey, we gotta bring it as supporters and as a game day experience just as much as they're going to try to bring it on the field.
Yeah, I think so. And I just go back to when we played against Detroit in the playoffs, and it was like you walked into the atmosphere and there's, you know, 3,000 people, like the drums are already going before you even walk on the field, and you know they're telling you to go fuck yourself and I'm gonna kill your mother, and you know, like all sorts of things. But like it really set the tone. And what it also set the tone for is it set the tone for the referees also. Like, if you're going to be making a decision against Detroit City, you might, and it's a kind of a razor's edge decision, you might lean towards making the decision for the people who aren't going to be, who aren't like rabid, so that you get out of that place alive, even though we definitely know that that's not the case. But I completely agree with him. I mean, if we can, let's start the tailgate early, and let's get in there before warmups are starting, or right as they start, or shortly after they start, and let's start the party and get the guys excited so that they can get in that mindset. And he's absolutely right that like a player's mindset will it'll amp you up in the right way if you're starting to feel that energy that's coming from why you play in front of a live environment like ours, or like any. And get that started early. But I did think that it was a really cool mix of people that came. There were a lot of faces that I've seen around City before in small doses, but I know they were there because of the lack of affinity to the new, we'll call it Minnesota United 2.0, from jump in that experiment that's currently going on, and they've kind of slowly started to gravitate more towards us. But it was like there were some people who were brand new, and they were only there because of Carl and what they loved about that environment, and that's exciting. And so he's already done it once before, so let's just listen to the guy and let's get the fans out there early and often, and let's create that environment that people don't want to play in, but our guys thrive off of it. But we also had a chance to catch up with some supporters after the event and talked about some of the things that they heard that got them excited. So let's take a listen to some of those, Nate.
What are your reactions to what you heard tonight? Anything that excites you? How was the event?
So my name's Paul, and you know, I've been a member of City for almost the beginning, I believe. I am just super stoked for this coaching staff is bringing their own philosophy to this club. I love the philosophy of the club. They're still about the community. They're still about development, about Minnesota soccer. But they're going to bring a fresh perspective, and that just sends me over the moon, or back to the moon.
Oh, I see what he did there.
Nice. That's a really good point that you make, Paul, because this is our first opportunity since the beginning when we hired Keith Kicker to be our first coach, that we're bringing in people who were not promoted within, but have the same philosophy and have their own spin on how they want to do things.
Right, and you know, with their experience, obviously these guys have brought a lot of experience from a lot of different places to be able to coalesce that into a philosophy that also fits with City is absolutely brilliant. I think we're on the verge of something really big here.
I think so too. I have a quick question for Paul. Paul, what's the one question that you didn't get a chance to ask these guys?
Well, I was going to ask Coach Carl Craig.
Yeah, you mean Craig Carl? Never going to live that down.
How he was going to attain the 30 points that is the expectation out of the conference schedule. Which clubs was he going to draw with versus win?
All right, so we are here with our supporter Mel. Mel, any reactions to what you heard tonight? Anything that you heard that you was especially exciting and excited for the future?
For sure. So thanks for having me. Thanks for putting on this event. Sure. It's super fun to see a lot of friends that we haven't seen since last season, so that's nice. A couple things that I heard. He's requesting that we drum faster. So yeah. I did hear that.
Bring the ruckus.
Bring a little bit more, is it okay to say, shithousery to the environment and kind of pick up the pace a little bit, show the enthusiasm that then the players on, and he kept calling it a park. Not a pitch or a field, right?
Adorable.
It is.
Is it the park where you guys start?
I know.
And then you come over to the pitch?
It feels like the swing set. Is that where we tailgate? I don't know. So that was kind of wild,
sandbox.
Too.
Sandbox,
yeah. So that was exciting. So that's something we can, in fact, do. And so if he feels like that's going to contribute to the success, then we feel more like we're a part of it, which is really a great feeling to have. The other part... Go ahead.
Mel, were you involved with or were you a supporter of United back in the NSC days?
No, I am not. I was not. I'm actually very new to the scene, but I have come in quite hot. I'm a part of Thunderwall, and that's where it started. And then Revontulit, who is a supporter group for Aurora. I'm leading a part of that like amazing group there. City is where.
Listen.
Yeah, I'm a member. I don't know if I'm officially a citizen at this point because I kind of like going to City and not having to do anything.
Yeah.
And so, except for, participate in chants and I'm excited to get back there. It's my favorite experience as far as football locally, outside of Aurora, of course.
Who's paying you?
Yeah. Like, obviously, the women's scene is where it's at. It's super fun. In fact, I invite you guys, like, come over. If you do go to an Aurora match, come over and see us in Revontulit, Section 121. We're also going to bring the shithousery there, too, because we have a time bomb there where they want to go to NWSL. So as long as we can stay in USLW, we're going to bring the, stupid, bring the noise, bring the crazy. And so that's one of the main things that I took from it. Stick with that.
Were there any questions that you wish you would have, that you now after the fact that you would have liked to ask the coaching staff?
I actually had several that did not have guts to ask.
Well, here's your guts. We'll ask them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, is punk rock dead? You can start with that.
It's clearly not. So
we'll
go to the next one.
I know, but does it die when you turn 50? I don't know. Maybe it dies when you turn 50.
I don't know if it does.
I don't think it does. But
you might die inside a little bit, but punk rock lives forever.
It does.
All right, so we're here with Tom Kleszewski. Did I get it?
Nailed it.
Nice.
I got that right and not Carl.
Yeah, you got the Polish right.
Yeah.
Tom, first public appearance as a Minneapolis City coach. It's pretty sizable event. How did it feel? And what's it like to be in front of the supporters for the first time?
Well, I've been a fan of this club for a while. I mentioned in some of my answers that I've coached players at St. Thomas that have been on the roster over the years. So I live very close to Augsburg, so I've come out to games and been witness to what a great fan group it is and what a great community you guys have built already. Coming into tonight, I said I wasn't really sure, you know, who comes out to an event like this on a Wednesday night. You know, is this going to be like three or four people? And just the passion and the depth of the questions and the involvement that's just so apparent from the fan base here is impressive. And you can see that this club is really on to something. I think there was a great question about just building the, you know, building the excitement and how do we capture that vibe that we used to have up at NSC all those years of the Thunder and the NSC Stars and the transition to United, and can we bring that to Minneapolis City? And I think Carl hit it on the head that there's an identity here. There's a that everyone feels it. Everyone understands kind of who we are as a club and why this works and why everybody's so passionate about it. And to see the group tonight and to hear their questions, it's just very apparent that everybody truly believes in this club, and it's just a great project. I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
And you get the bonus of being the only member of the coaching staff who brought his dad.
Yes, yeah. My dad lives close by, and I wasn't sure how many people would be here. I thought, I'll bring one more.
And the stats.
Great opportunity to have a beer with my dad. So any chance I can do that, I look forward to. So it was, there was a little bonus on the night, but there was no shortage of people here. It was a full house. So it's an impressive group.
So as a leader of a youth club, like, what's been the perception that for the members of your youth club of what Minneapolis City was, now is, and then ultimately now that you're a part of it?
Yeah, I think, we really work like adjacent to Minneapolis City. They come on the field with the Futures program at 9 p.m. right as we finish at Braemar Dome. So
yeah, you guys got to move the goals back.
Yes, yeah, that's we need to do better at shifting things back into place.
That's
but
okay. our that's players, why guys like me are there, right? Goals.
Yeah, our players are very aware of it because they're like what is this group coming on? Because there's the numbers are massive,
and you can playing.
Yeah, the music's playing. There's a great vibe to it, and you can see at a glance that it's a great player pool. Our players, as they're packing their stuff up and not putting the goals back in place as they're supposed to, they're catching glimpses of it and going like, what is this? I alluded to it in the panel tonight that the Futures program, it touches into traditional club soccer, pathways in Minnesota, but it operates outside of that also. And so the community of Edina soccer players, they're very insulated. They're working kind of inside of that traditional club soccer pathway.
Is also very insulated.
Yeah, true. It is. there's no way around that. And so for them to see that and see like, wow, that the level is excellent. Our guys, our older teams are training in that later time slot, so they're coming off the field seeing this going, is this a club? Is this a team that we have to play against? Like, who are these guys?
Yeah, I don't play against those guys.
Yeah, and I've had to explain to them before. I'm saying, this is another avenue for you guys to pursue. And so I think they're starting to be aware of it. Dan Hodeman has a son in our club that I've had the pleasure of training in goalkeeper training and getting to know him. And so we have some ties as a club to Minneapolis City, but I think there's clubs all over the state, I think, are starting to realize the value of Minneapolis City and kind of what it brings to the traditional club soccer pathway.
Cool. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, awesome job tonight. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
John, I think it's clear from what we heard at the event and from, what we're hearing, what we heard on Twitter, what you see on social media, when the club announced the Carl Craig signing, there's just a lot of energy in the local soccer community around this signing. And whether that means that you're new to the club and new to the Crows and you're finally getting on board, or you're re-energized after being a fan for 6-7 years, like, I don't really care. Like, either are good. Both are good, right? Like, the ability of Carl Craig to bring new fans into the fold is going to be something that's important for us as we grow and get better. And I think the ability for, hopefully is going to happen on the field, like the ability for that influx of fans to allow our supporters to grow and allow our supporters to up their game is going to also be phenomenal for the club. Like, I think just the better the environment, the better the product on the field, the better the, you know, that all comes down to, you know, the little things, and Carl has his eye on those.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm equally as excited like most people are. I think that let's get soccer going again, Nate. Like, let's just get it going.
I know it's like it's all happening at once, but it's not happening yet.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we're going to hear more from Carl next week. Hopefully when we get him on the show, we don't want to hit you with anything that's already been said. So look for that interview as something that's going to be new and special.
It is that time again, time for our buddy Joe and his pals to fire up the lower league E-Cup. If you're not familiar, the E-Cup was started during the COVID times. Man, seems like forever ago, the COVID times, by college student Joe Meyer out of Ohio. And it's grown over the last 4 years, something really big that a lot of the clubs and fans look forward to each year. It's you know, historically spanned almost, I think it's above now 50 clubs and supporters groups across 22 states and 20 different leagues. So really caught fire. And we've had Joe on, we've talked at length with him about just what a great job as a freshman in college he did to spin this up and put it together with duct tape and chewing gum. Mm-hmm. But really pulls it off. But we've been involved since the beginning, partly because we literally had nothing to do during the lockdown and decided to get wild on Twitch and party because we had guys like Max Stewart and Jonah Garcia, who were top level FIFA players, who helped make sure that we didn't embarrass ourselves, even though we did kind of embarrass ourselves, Nate, on the commentary.
That's true. this year is going to be the last year that Joe runs the E-Cup. I guess he's a senior in college and then he's expecting to have a real job and no time to spend on it, which makes sense. But he has left the opportunity open for anyone who's interested to take over the planning and execution. Yeah, no, not going to be us. And so we are going to be back too for one more time on the commentary. I'll say after a brief dip last year into the competitive field, I'm excited to be back in the booth, back on the mic, along with you, John, as we cover Minneapolis City's games and beyond. I'd like to forget about last year.
Nate, things didn't go great last year for you from a results perspective. But I will say, though, that you did a very good job with what you had. I think you played well. It just didn't start off great.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, I don't want to get into it too deeply, but remember that we got stream creeped, and that cost me a victory. And then and then in the third game, we kind of treated it as a joke, and I lost. So that was it.
Hey, we had a good run. I drank a lot of beer while I was commentating over you trying to play.
I know. After winning the first one, I was like, "Shit, this is going to be sweet. I got this on lock." And then it all went downhill.
Yeah, well, maybe you should have listened to some of my pointers. I don't know. Well, as the field gets more competitive every year, this time we've left the gameplay to the youngins. This year, Minneapolis City will be represented by City supporter Israel Carrillo. Hopefully I got that right. And we're happy to welcome him to the show today. Israel, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well.
So before we get into some more questions about the Sticks, you are not new to the City ecosphere or local soccer. You're a member of the club, and you're the leader of a supporters group, the Lake Street Ultras. How did you find Minneapolis City, and what brought you into the fold for the E-Cup?
Well, I'm friends with a guy named Ray, who you guys know, and I really love football. I watch every level of it. It's one of my passions, I'd say. Just everything about the game, like, fascinates me, and I just wanted to get out and watch more local soccer games around here, and stumbled upon City and went to a few games. I really liked the atmosphere, and ever since I've been going to Ader Nelson, just watch games and just have fun with friends and stuff. And that whole Lake Street Ultras thing, it kind of started off as a joke, but it's between me and my friend, and one day we were just like, hey, we should make stickers and pass them around and just kind of stick them anywhere, and it kind of became this, our little ultras group, and I love it. And you know, we like to do a thing every year where we go to a different away stadium in the MLS, and we just kind of go around and stick stickers everywhere, and just kind of piss people off. But you know, it's all banter, it's all friendly.
Yeah,
It's all banter. That's great.
So then how did you get mixed up with the E-Cup then? I mean, obviously you mentioned Ray Riera, your buddy who worked for the club, but was it really just like a, hey man, get me in contact with the guys that run this?
So I've actually been trying to get on the E-Cup for a few years now. Mm-hmm. I do play competitively just around Minneapolis. I've been going to local tournaments, and I just kind of heard word from a few friends that are actually participating in the tournament. And they kind of kept putting pressure on me to like, yo, reach out, like try to find a team and stuff. And I was like, oh, I'll kind of put it aside. You know, I'm kind of shy. I don't really like know how to contact people. So I was just like, all right, you know, I got to do it this time. It's the last one. It's my last chance. So I might as well play in it.
Well, hey man, if you would have come to us last year, you could have taken Nate's spot.
No kidding. How that went.
But I mean, you reach into it a little bit, but your background intel tells us that, like you said, you play competitive FIFA, and you've been doing so since 2021, and you were runner up in the Minnesota United FC EMLS Cup. Give us your FIFA origin story. Like, when did you start playing the game? What's your favorite version? How did you get involved in competitive play, etc.?
I think my first FIFA game was the FIFA 2010 World Cup on the Xbox 360, and
that was a good one.
I played a lot of it. I got really good at it, and then I just kind of I stopped playing for a bit. I was mainly when I was in middle school growing up. I played a lot of Madden. Like I bought every Madden every year, and then I'd play FIFA here and there, but. I think FIFA 17, FIFA 16, I can't remember which one. That was the first time I started playing Ultimate Team. And then I bought my own copy because I kept borrowing it from a friend. But I bought my own copy, I think, during FIFA 18. I started playing Ultimate Team then, went into FIFA 19. And then so forth, I started buying more copies. And then kind of around FIFA 20, FIFA 21 is when I started to realize that I'm starting to get pretty good at the game. And then I'm starting to understand a little bit better how the mechanics work and just small things that go on in the game, you know, try to like watching YouTube videos and taking tactics from other guys and kind of watching and seeing, like taking pointers on how to play the game. And then around FIFA 21, that's when I started taking it more seriously. I started watching the FIFA Global Series and just kind of trying to watch how those guys play and try to take bits from them and trying to apply it to my game and see what works and what doesn't work for me. And I just kind of created my own little style of play and, just kind of grew from there. And I, ever since then, I kind of every day get home from work, get home from school, I hop on and grind for a few hours and try to stay as best I can possibly be so I can come into this tournament hot.
Nice. We, you know, I'm with you on that. Like there's always things that you could, like when you're watching these videos and they're talking about, you know, making like doing something that triggers a goalkeeper animation or really getting granular to that level, to like the real mechanics of the game, like how the game operates, not just like, you know, once you can start to adjust your gameplay to kind of game the game, that's when I think people really, really get good. And that's really hard to put into practice. Like we talked about it already. I infamously flamed out of the tournament in the group stage last year. I'll blame it on stream creep in game two and the terrible Minnesota United roster in game three. But one thing that was a surprise to me, Israel, was how different the gameplay is on those friendly servers versus the Ultimate Team servers. Knowing that you have played in some competitive tournaments, I'm assuming they've either used friendly servers or you've been playing live. How do you adjust your game when you're not dealing with the Ultimate Team speed, the Ultimate Team meta? Do those slower servers and connectivity issues have an effect on your approach?
Not really. Most of my tournaments that I've played in are in person, but it is different. It's a different speed of gameplay. Obviously Ultimate Team, you got guys that have 99 pace and you can do all sorts of crazy stuff. And you kind of don't have that with a base team. So you got to be a little bit more methodical with your gameplay, I'd say. Like, kind of slow down. I try to slow down a bit. I like to play possession, so I kind of feel out my opponent first and then see how they set up defensively. And after that, after I figure out how to break them down, that's when I try to open up the game and try to see if I can score and keep scoring, you know?
Yeah.
Love goals. That's love how you, goals.
That's how you win.
Yeah. It's kind of sort of just like trying to unlock them first. And then once I unlock them, then that's when floodgates open. And
nice. I mean, that was kind of how it went when we were watching, you know, Max and Max Stewart and Jonah Garcia play in year one, year two. It really was like, once they could get that opening goal, goal one, goal two, all of a sudden there were times when it was just like you can't stop them anymore because the game really opens up. The opponent pushes to more aggressive tactics, and there's even more openings behind. So successful approach, at least historically successful. So that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Last year's tournament, man, the winner was out of Valora FC, guy by the name of Yusuf El Sawi, and this year he switched clubs. And he is now playing for Duluth FC. So I guess besides that being just classic Duluth importing a player, what are your thoughts on this bit of news? Is he someone that you've competed against in the past?
Oh, yeah. We've played a few finals together.
What's his story? What's his game? Is he as good as advertised?
Oh, yeah. He's really good. I don't know. If you ask him, he's really humble about it. He'll say, I'm better, but I honestly think he's really good. It's kind of hard for me to break him down sometimes, but he'll tell you if he catches me on a good day. You know, both of us can be very unplayable sometimes.
Wow.
Well, that's good to hear. I hope you're putting aside any sort of friendship that you have, considering we're playing Duluth, and you're gonna go straight for the jugular.
No, I messaged him right when I saw the power rankings. I was like, it's gonna get swept. I told him right away. I saw those power rankings. Yeah, you're not safe.
Well, I mean, to add on top of that, I'm sure you're well aware of our Duluth rivalry. Being a club supporter, you do know that we expect nothing less than at least a 6-1 scoreline, like the last time we smacked them in the MPSL North title race at their place. So I hope that's on your vision board.
Oh, 6-1 would be a challenge, but you know. I'll try to get that win.
Yeah, we'll take the win. We'll take the win. It doesn't have to be 6-1. I just like to drop the 6-1 scoreline any chance I get.
You mentioned it. The E-Cup released a preseason top 10. He is number one on the rankings, and you cracked it. You are sitting at number 10. It's a good example of how small this FIFA community is. Are there any other players in that top 10 that you recognize or that you've played against?
Oh, yeah.
The players that you know of in the tournament that you're hoping to run into?
The second seed and another guy that's playing for what's that club's name? Spam SC. He's also a good friend of mine.
Oh yeah, so there's a lot of local players, I guess, in this tournament. Even ones that are playing against like in Milwaukee or for other clubs like that.
Yeah, both of those guys are.
Is that because it's cold? It's cold here, and that's the only thing to do for a majority of the year is play FIFA.
I guess so.
Well, nice. I think you're criminally underrated, to be honest with you, at 10. But it's good to always have someone to look up against that you can take down.
Oh yeah, no, I kind of like the seating that they gave me because it just kind of motivates me to keep climbing that ladder and prove myself.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
A lot of noise around this since the E-Cup has chosen our match, our opening match against Duluth, as the one that kicks off the tournament. What are you doing? What are you doing to prepare? Are you ready to come out of the gate strong?
Yeah, so I've been playing a lot. After school or after work, I put in hours into the game. I kind of chose the clubs I want to use, just kind of fidgeting around with the tactics, feeling out how they play in game, just so I know what I'm getting myself into. And I'm trying to stay as warm as possible, trying to get my fingers loose as possible, so like I don't go in there without playing the game or having taken like a 2-day break and then come back and I'm a little rusty. I wanted every day I come in, I put a few hours in the sticks.
Nice.
Love to hear that.
I love it.
love to hear that. So you talk about like your preparation, but what are your feelings going into the competition for the first time?
Yeah, have you watched? Did you watch any of the E-Cup over the last couple of years? Have you gone back and checked out some of the maybe returning competition at all?
No, actually, I think I watched a clip of one game, but that was a while ago. I can't remember who was playing, but I did check it out for a bit. But I'm really excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. It looks like there's a lot of good competition this year. Just looking around on Twitter and just people, I streamed yesterday and people dropped in, said what's up, and you know, kind of told me who they're playing for and all that. And it looks like it's a really good bunch of players, so I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be really exciting.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure you're well aware that we do color commentary for each of the club's matches. Are you prepared for us to make the event, even though it is a serious thing? and will you be listening to our commentary like the other players did in the past during matches, or will you go on mute so you can totally focus?
I might go on mute.
I highly recommend you go on mute.
Yeah.
No offense, John, but it was very hard to concentrate on anything when you're yapping in my ear.
Well, I have plans. I have some plans to heavily, I don't know what you want to call it, heavily impair myself for this version, because we got to go back to the roots, Nate, where we literally were locked in our houses, and the only thing that we had was the old bottle. So no, but I think that's a good play for you, Israel, that you won't be listening to us, but we'll probably try to get you connected up to the booth after your first match and see how it went for you, and get your take on things, and then we'll stay in communication with you along the way. I know Nate's got one last thing for you before we wrap it up today.
Yeah, I'll tell you that. Just thinking about how we started, John, and our approach to Twitch commentary, I think neither of us were very aware that like game announcing was a real thing. And so I think it was really funny when we started to get some pushback and people ripping us because we were, we weren't taking it as seriously as maybe we should. Maybe we weren't as professional or polished as we could have been. But I think, Israel, the thing to remember is, I think, you know, just log on and have a good time, and we're going to be there with you, fucking around and having a good time. And if people don't want to see that, they can eat shit.
Right.
Yeah. And the nice part too is that every year someone's complained to us where Joe has to call me and say, "Hey, so I got this complaint about you guys." So know that no matter what happens, we will shoulder the responsibility of any negative impact. So you can focus on,
we've got your back.
On what you're doing. Well, the E-Cup kicks off with the featured match against Duluth on Thursday, February 16th at 8 p.m. Central. Subscribe to Minneapolis City's Twitch channel to make sure you don't miss any of the action. It's you can do so at twitch.tv/MPLSCitySC. You can follow Israel on Instagram at, this is great, Mexican Samurai.
Mexican, I love that. You got to get the underscore in there.
Yeah, sorry, Mexican _ Samurai. I mean, either way, it's still fantastic with or without the underscore. You can head on over to Twitch at FootBurner, FFUBurner_, or Twitch TV /FootBurner, all lowercase, FUTBURNER _. So Israel, we're super excited for you to join the digital murder, and like we said, we got your back, and there's going to be a lot of folks that that have your back as well. So enjoy yourself, kick the shit out of that guy who's not really from Duluth, and we look forward to getting you on and understanding how the first week went for you when we meet in a few days.
All right, yeah, thank you.
All right, awesome, Israel. It was really nice to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you guys. Have a good one.
That'll do it for this week's show, folks. Thanks again to our E-Cup tribute, Israel, and thank you to our wonderful show sponsor, footballstadiumprince.com. Still with us. Thanks. Thanks so much for putting up with us over the course of the last two seasons. Whether your club is in the news because of your top of the table, because you're the bottom of the table, you just sacked your manager, or because you just hired a shiny new one, Football Stadium Prince has anything from mugs to t-shirts to sweet prints of club icons from around the world, like Sir Alex Ferguson, me, John Bizworm, the Matt Elder, or Edor Nelson Field, don't forget to use the code CROWS10 for 10% off of everything you purchase. And remember, as always, all orders ship right here from the United States, so no need for those pesky international shipping charges. 2023 memberships are now available. $89 gets you a ticket to every UPSL and USL2 home game, as well as a voice that helps to shape the club for next year. As a reminder, Minneapolis City is a 501c3. So if you're looking for a tax deductible donation, as those tax forms are starting to add up and drying out your bank account, maybe donate and plan for next year and consider a charitable gift to the club that loves to give back. If you're interested in getting a hold of us, we made it simple. Hit up the club on Twitter at MPLSCitySC. Us at the show at the People's Pitch or via email, mcscpodcast@gmail.com. That is it for this week. I am Nate. That was Israel. Or sorry, I am John. Oh, man, I'm so bad with names. I am John. That was Nate. That was Israel. 2023 looks to be another exciting year in Minneapolis soccer. So buckle up, friends. We'll be back next week with some words from the Q&A with our new manager, Mr. Carl Craig. But until then, you got us.